This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoneng here with my partner in crime till 10 a.m., Koo Soo Chuang.
Good morning. How are you? How's things? How's the weekend?
Pretty good. It's a good way to start the Monday, 1st of September, and it's now 6 a.m. By golly, where did the rest of the year go? We're already three quarters of the year done, done and dusted.
Well, you know what they say about having fun and time, right? in a weird Dutch way.
I don't know. This year, 2020, has been a really unusual one. And it's something we're going to be talking about in about 5 minutes. Because I think if we look back at 2020, what will we remember? Or hopefully forget, if you ask me, right?
Yeah, but one thing's for sure, it'll be indelibly emblazoned on our memories.
That's for whatever sure.
Whatever good, whatever bad.
Yes. What else are we going to have a little chat about, Chuang?
Well, two very important things other than work, which is diet and exercise.
Our problem is probably the lack and probably one, we do too little, and the other one, we do a little bit too much. Let me guess which it is.
that is for each of us to subjectively answer.
Yeah, but we also have some other interesting stories out there, one of which, of course, we can't ignore what's happening in the US with regards to COVID-19 and also the US presidential elections. And closer to home, looking at the newspapers, some headlines we'll be covering about the impact COVID-19 has had, of course, on some of our students who are trying to go back overseas to study, and also even those who are attempting to continue their studies here in Malaysia. What impact does that have on the education system? But if you want to weigh in on any of our conversations, you can. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back after Rocket Man by Elton John. But don't go anywhere. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, and that was Rocket Man by Elton John. Good morning, I'm Wong Xiaoneng here with Koo Soo Chuang, and this is The Morning Run. And apologies firstly, because today is not Monday, it's actually Tuesday. I forgot. Yesterday was a national day, and we all had a little nice break. And albeit slightly different, it didn't seem to have as much fanfare as the typical national day because of COVID-19. But it's also probably at this time that we should take a little bit of time to reflect on 2020. And this is on the back of an article in the Financial Times. And it's entitled, How Will History Remember 2020? And, you know, if you asked me in January earlier this year, I don't think I would have ever, and I underline this ever in bold some more, expected us to have this global pandemic that shut down almost every corner of the universe, corner of the world, where we were forced to stay at home. Most of us worked from home. And we are now, even until today, so September 1st, walking around with masks and praying for a vaccine.
Yeah, so history and history books are written by human beings, right? And human beings tend to come from countries and cities. And depending on what country and city you're in, you would write your history books accordingly. So if you were a citizen of the world with no country of origin, then you would write about the COVID-19 virus, which affected everybody. If you're in America, most likely you would write about coronavirus and the Black Lives Matter movement and the riots that came as a result.
And maybe if you're lucky, a new president in November.
A new president. Well, definitely a new president in November.
Definitely.
Sorry, no. I beg your pardon, Freudian slip.
Might have a new president.
A new presidential tenure in November. If you were in Malaysia, you write about the coronavirus and you would probably also write about the new government that came into power, right? And these three things, I think, would dominate the headlines if you were from either Malaysia, America, or the world. And for me, that would be it. But personally, I think the MCO, where you're at home with your children and your family, I think that was really nice for me. It was really meaningful. Yes, no money. Yes, no work. Yes, no nothing of any kind of activity. But it was nice to spend time with the children, you know, and time to get, it was really nice to get close to them.
Yeah, I was having a little chat with my parents about this, actually, about COVID-19 and the whole MCO and what did it teach us as a family, as a unit, right? And because, like you say, Chuang, we were forced to stay at home, and then our friendships were somewhat curtailed, because even though you can do it on Zoom, you can do it on Microsoft Teams, you can chat online, that physical connection wasn't there. Everything was quite inward rather than outward, right? And it was not a bad thing, because if you think about it, the last few years, especially in my own life, everything is just buzz, 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 busy, 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 just going out there, doing a million things, and you felt that you needed to. Otherwise, your life wasn't fulfilled. So this inward time was actually quite good for a refocus, and also in a way to get to know my parents and my siblings, and even my screaming five little nephew and nieces, which I've come to enjoy.
Five, that's good. Yeah.
So I think that was the good thing from COVID-19. It refocused what was really, really important, and also the friends that mattered. Because the friends that mattered were those that tried to keep in touch regardless of COVID-19, and they reached out to you in their little cute ways, whether it was to send you a pint of ice cream, make a cake for you, drop off some bread at the post box. You know, when they bought something in the market, they dropped it off in your house. These little gestures reminded you who are the important people in life.
And what is the most important thing in life, right?
It wasn't making the big bucks at the end of the day, right?
No, because it wasn't.
That's not going to keep you safe from COVID-19.
Yeah, there was a little story I read in the New York Times, and they interviewed a whole bunch of nurses and matrons from hospitals around the world. And it was the dying wishes of those who were, at the end of their lives, right? And all of them, I think there was like a list of 5 or 10 items. And then none of those 5 or 10 people said that they wished they had made more money or that they had worked harder. They all said that they wished they'd travel more, spend more time with their friends, and spend more time with their family, all of them. So none of that had anything to do with pecuniary or financial sources. It was all about time with their loved ones and their friends.
Yeah, I think that.
I think that's very telling.
I think also COVID-19 reminds us how very much mortal we are. In the sense that, yes, we have made huge advancements in technology. We can fly to the moon. We are launching rockets every other week. We have been able to, even have automobiles just using electricity,
absolutely,
like Tesla.
Absolutely.
But when it comes to this virus, this invincible, I mean, it's invincible. It has struck us all down globally, and we are still racing for that vaccine. It reminds us that, hey, we are human after all. We can't conquer everything, can we?
Yeah, and even if it's not coronavirus, other illnesses still exist. And those illnesses include cancer, and they've been able to bring down the king of Wakanda as well. So
yeah, unfortunately,
that's a big thing, right? It was really shocking to me, actually. This guy, he's 43 years old, younger than me, and boom,
like
a light switch.
Throughout all the movies without telling anybody.
Yeah.
Right? Because he was determined to live the life to the maximum.
Yeah, we're of course talking about Chadwick Boseman, who made his name, I think, in Black Panther, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the first movie to garner so many Oscar nominations.
So I guess the point today is really when we look back in 2020, maybe it's that time to reflect on what's really, really important and to make the most of the balance of the year and also in 2021, right? So let us know what you think about this. How will you look back at 2020 and what will be the highlights or maybe the lowlights of the year? Let us know what you think about what we were just talking about. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, some messages. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, and that was The Summer of 69 by Bryan Adams. And you're listening to Morning Run with Xiaoning and Chuang here. Next, we're looking at is this article in the BBC. And it's entitled, Diet and Exercise Calculator, What's the Right Plan for You? And the reason why we're asking this, and it's somewhat related to COVID-19, is that for a lot of us, when we were trapped at home, our diets changed, our exercise plans had to change because our lockdown or movement control order was actually very, very strict. We weren't even allowed to leave the house unless we were buying groceries or buying food. It had to be some form of essential service. We weren't allowed to go running, go back to our gyms. Everything was shut. And so I think a lot of people re-examined their lives, right? The way they lived, what they ate, how they exercised. And I think this article is interesting because it tells you, hey, maybe you need to do a little bit more or less of maybe eating, which is less of eating, of course, and a little bit more of moving your body.
Yeah, there's an assumption within the last thing you just said that exercise was something that people did. I beg to differ. I think what the MCO did was exaggerate and inflate people's existing habits. So if you were already a couch potato, you became even more of a couch potato. If you already did an exercise, it's even less of a chance that you did any exercise at all. You would just have sat in front of the TV and eaten your potato chips. if he were an exercise nut, chances are you would have done even more.
Because and you would have gone slightly nuts, though.
Slightly more nuts, right?
Yeah, because you couldn't get out.
Right? And it would have even driven you a bit more stir-crazy because you couldn't have gone running outside anymore, so you would have spent much more time in a treadmill or even ordered in a treadmill if you didn't have already a treadmill.
Well, if you were lucky enough to be able to afford a treadmill.
Yeah, exactly. But then if you didn't have to pay for your loan, maybe that's where your money went.
Okay.
So, yeah, right?
I'm not sure any of us bought a treadmill. I wasn't one of those.
Yeah, but so in terms of which is the correct level for you, right? There's so many diets out there. There's so many exercise plans out there. It's confusing. It's baffling. It just makes you just even more uncertain of what's the right direction. For me, the litmus test is what feels right. If I just feel a bit more tired than normal, I just won't do it. And I will just come to a certain point, make like maybe 80% of the exercise, and then I'll stop because I don't want to overwork out as well. So for me, I don't really follow a plan anymore. I just do what I feel is right. And I feel just try and listen to the body.
Well, there are some general guidelines, and I think they are still useful nonetheless, even though I think you're right, Chuang. The most important thing is to listen to your body. But some simple rules apply. For example, the National Health System in UK, they recommend, based on this BBC article, that adults should aim for at least 2.5 hours of moderate cardio exercise or 75 minutes of vigorous exercise. So do we do that? And for us Malaysians, we are very guilty, like you say, of being couch potatoes. We are very attached to our gadgets, to our devices. Exercise, unfortunately, may not be part and parcel of our lives. So you have to make time for it. And was COVID-19 that excuse whereby you thought, even less reason to go out? Or were you one of those which went nuts? Because I have to confess, I went nuts. As you all know, I'm a big exercise fan, right? Part of my routine is getting up at 3 a.m. before and doing some exercise before I come on air. If it was a little safer out in KL, I'll be going out running at 3 a.m, which I know is slightly insane, but I like it. So for me, yes, I probably do get enough exercise. And my problem is actually like the learning to say enough is enough. Because as I get older, there are a little bit more complaints coming from the joints. But I think it's important to have that routine, stick to it, and not just use this excuse, "Aiyah, very lazy lah, no need lah." Because you will not be surprised how calorific food is.
Absolutely, man.
And Malaysian food is the worst.
Yesterday I had char kway teow for breakfast and I felt so bad because the starch in there, the calories are off the scale. Yeah. But, you know, 75 minutes of vigorous exercise a week, I think is appropriate. But what amounts to vigorous exercise? Does it mean that your heart rate goes to, say, within 80% of your maximum allowable, right? That would be one. If you're breathing hard, if you're sweating, then I think that is vigorous exercise, right? Generally speaking, because you want to be sweating, you want to be breathing hard, because that's when the real exertion is, and that's where the real expansion of the lung capacity comes in. I mean, there's huge benefits to exercise, right? I think a lot of people don't realize what it can do for your mood, what it can do for your diets, what it can do for your
stress
ability
levels.
To think through problems, and of course, your stress level.
Yeah. For me, you know, I think the exercise is where I really go to when I feel like, too much.
Absolutely.
I need some time for myself, right? Because when you're either running or you're doing some sort of, like for me, the other thing that I like to do is suspension training. It's actually because your mind is somewhat blank, right? Because you then have that moment of almost quiet meditation. Some people sit down and meditate. I just go for like a long run to enjoy that air, to enjoy that fresh sunshine, a little bit of sunshine in the face. And it's just good to just zone out. But the point is also food. Now, you know, they go hand in hand. So how much should you be eating? That's the problem.
Yeah, especially in Malaysia, right?
And does this, because you exercise, give you an excuse to just binge? And the answer, unfortunately, is no, because this will surprise you. If you weigh 60 kg, 30 minutes of cycling for leisure will only burn you 120 calories, which is probably something like the equivalent of, you know, like 5 mouthfuls of that nasi lemak.
So, yeah, one of my best friends exercises a lot. He doesn't seem to be able to lose weight. So I said, that's because you're putting in more than you're putting out.
Unfortunately, you need to create that calorie deficit, right, in order to lose weight. But the point is, don't give up. you know, find that
keep going.
Yeah, find that exercise that you enjoy, whether it is Zumba, whether it is good old fashioned aerobics,
Zumba.
Whether Zumba is the latest thing, Pilates, or you like a run, do whatever it takes, you know, to keep moving. Let us know what you think about any of these stories or anything that we've discussed earlier. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Tell us what really keeps you going in the morning or in the afternoon to get some exercise done. But up next, we have the news bulletin. And to take us there is a light that never goes out by the Smiths. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. Good morning. I'm Xiaoning here with Khoo Soo Chuang, and this is The Morning Run. It is now 6:39 in the morning, and that was Scar Tissue by Red Hot Chili Peppers. And we're taking a look at what's happening around the world. And of course, all eyes on the US, because unfortunately for them, they have topped 6 million coronavirus cases in about 7 months. So far, 183,000 people have unfortunately died as a result, and about 20% of survivors actually left with long-term problems. So the White House Coronavirus Task Force Coordinator, Dr. Deborah Birx, has urged Americans to remain vigilant and take personal responsibility.
Yeah, many Americans are fed up of these restrictions and fatigued from so many months of mask wearing and physical distancing. So a lot of them have taken the first and said basically, well, you know, I've got civil liberties, I can go out and basically go out and muck around, right? The recent motorcycle rally in South Dakota is a reminder of the danger. I think nearly 500,000 attendee vehicles, masks were not required, and at least 260 COVID-19 cases associated with the event. Then on the vaccine front, two vaccines are now in phase 3 trials in America. But of course, government officials have said that the vaccine probably won't be publicly available until at least next year.
And just a little bit of rewind, because not only were there motorcyclists in this rally who weren't wearing masks, if you look at the Republican convention, which happened in the White House, which actually goes against normal practice, there were about apparently 1,000 people also not wearing masks. So like you say, Chuang, you know, the Americans pledged the first. But if you really want to bring down or flatten the pandemic curve, and you want to look at the success of a lot of countries that have done so, including Malaysia, we've been very successful. I think there's no denying that mask wearing is probably the way to go. So once again, that big question mark about your social contract with your fellow citizens, right? And for America, I mean, the health advice is to wear a mask, but there somehow seems to be a great reluctance there.
Yeah, of course. You know, we've also seen how Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden, right, very much in the same vein as those public gatherings. He spoke in Pittsburgh on Monday. He was reported saying he issued a forceful rebuttal to Trump's allegation that he would preside over a country wrecked by disorder and lawlessness. Biden said that Trump had long ago forfeited any moral leadership in this country, and that he cannot stop the violence because for years he's fomented it. And I think this kind of extends the argument that Biden has put forth, that actually Trump has been benefiting and, in fact, encouraging the unrest because it's been advantageous to his campaign.
Yeah, he has been stoking. Biden contends that Trump has been made the country unsafe by stoking division amid an outcry over racism and police brutality, as well as through his handling of the coronavirus and the U.S. economy. Now, so Biden's position is that he's going to work together to bring those that who are protesting against racial justice together with the police officers, saying that his purpose is actually to unite the country more broadly. But he also condemned the police shootings of Black Americans. Now, Biden's handling of the civil unrest playing out across America may shape the remainder of his campaign, as a number of Democrats have urged his team to be more visible on this issue.
Yeah, demonstrations occurring even in key battleground states like Wisconsin, where the shooting of the 29-year-old Jacob Blake sparked outrage. Blake, shot 7 times in the back by police last Sunday, he is not paralyzed, fortunately. But so much of the Republican criticism leveled against Biden stems from apparently false claims over his stance on law and order issues. Biden opposes, of course, defunding the police, which has been kind of like a social movement since the George issue, of course. And though several Republicans inaccurately claim he supports that policy.
Yeah, but later on at 7:30, we are going to discuss the Republican convention. We are going to have a deeper dive on this. and, you know, basically find out whether Trump in the first place has got any policies for America going into 2021 and beyond. Because the convention, if you just look at it from a very simplistic perspective, just featured a lot of his relatives rather than any Republican heavyweights. But looking a little bit closer to home, and we're looking specifically actually at India. Now, India has accused China of violating the border consensus reached during the recent peace talks. Not too long ago, remember, there were some skirmishes where up to as many, I think, 20 people died in what was very brutal hand combat because of the area. They're actually not allowed to fire any firearms. So it's said that Chinese troops carried out provocative military movements to change the status quo in Ladakh. Now, China has denied the claim and said that its border troops have strictly observed the line of actual control.
Yeah, so this line, this border actually is actually quite poorly demarcated. If you see the maps, the photographs of the region, actually is very mountainous, very hilly, very dry, very desert-like. And this is the northern part of India in the disputed Kashmir region. And that's obviously a flashpoint for India-China relations now because, you know, obviously that region is very important. It controls, you know, those mountainous regions control the fresh water that comes into the whole continent. So very, very contentious and very, very telling for the future in terms of these two powers.
Yeah, and it's not the first time actually they've gone, they have actually gone to war in the past about this. But we will be watching this story more closely. Let us know what you think about any of the stories that we've discussed, whether it's the Republicans, whether it's COVID-19 or India. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, we'll be taking a look at the front pages of our daily newspapers and online portals. We'll be back after these messages. Don't go away. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, I'm Wong Xiaoning here with Khoo Soo Chuang, and this is The Morning Run, and that was the super classic Penny Lane by the Beatles. I have to say, one of my favourite bands out there, right?
Absolutely. Probably the best band of all time.
Well, I'm sure there'll be a lot of people out there who will dispute that. But we're having a look at the papers this morning. And in front of me, actually, I'm going to go straight to the online portals first. And it's Malaysia Kini, because I'm looking at this article whereby we're talking about Syed Saddiq's new policy-driven platform, movement, and potentially party. At the moment, it's not a party. It's not a political party. But his fledging movement is about, I think, young people. So he's decided to, you know, not join Perjuang, stay with Bersatu, but do something new. And it's going to be apparently very interesting.
I love this. I love the fact that finally the young people will have a direct voice of their own rather than relying on those ossified structures within the existing political parties to do something for them, even on the fringes. I love the fact that this is happening, and I love the fact that this Undi 18 movement might yet yield, 5 to 6 million new voters into the population. Of course, people are divided over whether it's wise to allow people of such a young vintage to be allowed to vote. I'm in favour of it. I think young people today are very, very knowledgeable. And that's potentially 5 to 6 million new voters.
Yeah, I don't think they should be ignored. And if anything, the issues as a result of COVID-19 are really impacting the young, right? So the unemployment rates, they're going to be affected. Their inability to move up the property ladder because affordable housing, there's very little of it, is going to impact them. The quality of education or education being disrupted by COVID-19 also impacting the young most of all. So yeah, I think it's time that the youth have a voice. And this platform does come, it's interesting, partially because also some of its points are that they want to dismantle money politics, remove existing hierarchies.
About time.
About time, right? And it's true, there should be voices of young technocrats, professionals and academics who, you know, who don't want to be locked up in some youth wing or women's wing or a different wing of a political party.
I think this move is also very appropriate given the fact that we've just come out from, you know, Merdeka, which some years ago was seen as quite a significant holiday in Malaysia because it marked the country's independence. But today, Merdeka is meaningless for many, many people. And before not going to the details, I want to point listeners to this article by Professor Dr. Muhammad Tajuddin Muhammad Rusty, writing in my Sinchu. Go and look for his latest article. And it's a very personal but very moving account of what this means for him personally.
Yeah. It's a good time for us to reflect as a nation. We have just turned 63. What does Merdeka mean for us? What hopes also do we have for the future of the country? Because we know it's going to be tough times ahead, not just only economically, but also other issues. Now, looking at the papers in proper now, I've got the Star in front of me, and the headline, of course, is not taking any chances, because we know COVID-19 might strike again, especially as flu season comes around and in the Northern Hemisphere, colder weather starts. But the other article I actually want to draw attention to is hidden in page 6, and it's about a hung assembly being a possibility in Johor Bahru, because the former Johor Menteri Besar's position is pivotal to the state's government majority. And this 69-year-old politician, who in the past, according to the Star, has courted many controversies during his one-year tenure as Menteri Besar, is facing the possibility of having his party Bersatu membership terminated after a viral video of him was shown campaigning on behalf of the independent candidate during the slim by-elections.
Good Lord. Okay. Well, I've got the... I'm going to take the business route and looking at the Edge Weekly. The banks all reported late last week, and of course, it was the end of the month, so they've, you know, that was the deadline. Only Hong Leong Bank declared dividends. The rest of the big lenders didn't. Maybank was the notable one. They normally do one at the half-yearly point. They didn't. But they didn't rule out the possibility of a final dividend. And this is interesting because Maybank is one of those companies which is held by a lot of pension funds. And those pension funds, including PNB, rely on those dividends for their earnings. On page 18 of corporate pages, vaccine ventures, three companies, notably Solution Group, Binti Kinden and Hoa Genting, have all announced plans for the distribution and marketing of vaccines. And this is obviously tied into COVID, right? But apparently, according to the story, only Solution Group is the closest to getting approvals, because obviously there's health and safety requirements and regulatory approvals are required.
Yeah, and you know, we're just going to do do something very different. One of which is to look at social media now very quickly, and we've had a WhatsApp from Ro talking about what's important in 2020 and a look back of history. And he says the highlights, one is to be more grateful to be alive, but low, having to run after the gardenia delivery van as your life depended on it, especially when we all were short of bread. But that's all from the papers this morning. Coming up next is a 7 a.m. news bulletin, followed by more business news and analysis, where we'll be speaking to Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. But first, here's Someday by Sugar Ray. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.